إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده رسوله، ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again I welcome all of you. We continue reading the explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi from Al-Minha al-Rabbaniya في شرح الأربعين النووية, the book of our beloved Shaykh Dr. Saleh al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى. Tonight we're going to read to you the explanation of the hadith number 19. الحديث التاسع عشر عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح وفي رواية غير الترمذي كما في مسند الإمام أحمد وعند الطبراني في الكبير والحاكم في المستدرك وغيرهم احفظ الله تجده أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرا. Hadith number 19 on the authority of Abu Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, who said, one day I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to me, young man, I shall teach you some words of advice, giving him advice. Ihfadillah, be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, ask Allah. If you seek help of Allah. And of course, this you will find Him in front of you. This is not like we think like one in front of another. This is, it means that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for you and to protect you and assist you, as the Shaykh is going to explain. If you ask, ask Allah. If you seek help of Allah. Know that if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. And that if they gather together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something Allah had already prescribed for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. And it was related in another, this hadith was related by Imam al-Tirmidhi, who says it is Hasan Sahih. In a version other than that of al-Tirmidhi, which is in Musnad Imam Ahmed and also in al-Tabarani and also Imam al-Hakim in his Mustadrak and other than them like al-Bayhaqi and others, that the Prophet ﷺ said, be mindful of Allah, you will find Him before you. Get to know Allah in prosperity, and He will know you in adversity. Know that what has passed, that what has passed you by was not going to befall you, and that was what has befallen you was not going to pass you by or to miss you. And know that victory comes with patience, relief with affliction, and ease with hardship. قال شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله هذا الحديث عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما ابن عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this hadith came to us from the way of Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, him and his father. They both were companions. And Abdullah is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because his father is Al-Abbas. And Al-Abbas was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو له ويقول اللهم فقهه في الدين وعلمه التأويل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas, because Abdullah ibn Abbas was very young when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was alive. Was very young. And he used to make dua by saying, Oh Allah, give him the fiqh of the deen, the correct understanding. And Oh Allah, teach him the ta'wil, يعني التفسير. The Shaykh says, meaning tafsir, Oh Allah, teach him the interpretations, the right, the correct meanings of the ayats of the Quran. فكان آية من آيات الله في العلم وفي الفقه وفي تفسير القرآن. So this young man became one of the great scholars among the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim. In knowledge and in fiqh, in understanding, and in this, especially in the tafsir of the Quran. حتى لقب بترجمان القرآن وحبر الأمة رضي الله عنه. One of his nicknames that the ulama they give him is ترجمان القرآن, the one who has full knowledge of the meanings of the Quran. وحبر الأمة, the great scholar of this ummah. وكان طفلا صغيرا في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was a young boy in the lifetime of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. توفي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو لم يبلغ الحلم. شيخ فوزان حفظه الله says that when the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم died, and he died in the beginning of the 11th year of the Hijrah, he says that Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he didn't even reach puberty yet, the age of puberty. But in the explanation by our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, because he has an explanation on the 40 hadith as well, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said actually, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Ibn Abbas, he was around 15 or 16 years of age. قال ومع هذا أعطاه الله هذا العلم الغزير وهذا الفهم العظيم ببركة دعوة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. So then with this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died when this man was still a teenager. He was still young. And still Allah has bestowed upon him a lot of knowledge, abundance in knowledge, a great understanding, because of the blessings of the dua of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. But also the ulama, they mention, of course, the Prophet ﷺ make dua for him, but Ibn Abbas didn't stay home. Ibn Abbas, he went and he learned from the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim. He used to sit in the circles and he used to ask Abu Bakr, Umar, ask Uthman, ask Aisha, ask the ulama among the Sahaba. Ask Ibn Mas'ud. In some narrations, He will go and stay by the door of Ibn Mas'ud. Out of respect for Ibn Mas'ud, he don't knock at the door. He wait until Ibn Mas'ud comes out for the salat or for whatever reason, and then he will walk with him and ask him questions. And somebody asked Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, says, how did you acquire this knowledge? قال بلسان سؤول وقلب عقول. He says, with a tongue that ask questions, and a heart that comprehend and retain. It's very important. So Ibn Abbas, he learned from the ulama of the Sahaba, walhamdulillah. That's why you will find that in the time, in the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anh, as the ulama, they mention that Umar radiallahu anh, he used to have a shura council from the great companions, older companions, they have virtue, and those who participate in the Battle of Badr. However, one young man used to be with them. That was Abdullah ibn Abbas. That was Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Umar radiallahu anh, he didn't allow him to, because this council, the shura member people, Umar radiallahu anh, he used to turn to them. And when any decision, something happened, Umar radiallahu anh, he used to gather them and sit with them and say, look, this is what happened, this is what we're about to do. What do you say in the matter? Is to consult with them radiallahu anhu. And they were all old men participating in the Battle of Badr. But then was this young man, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, because of his knowledge and his understanding. That's why he was allowed to attend those gatherings, because of his knowledge and because of his understanding. So much so that our noble scholar says that the elders amongst the companions who used to attend those gatherings, and they kind of find within themselves, why this young man is with us? So Umar radiallahu anh, he noticed that. And he asked them once, while Ibn Abbas was there, and he asked them, he wants to prove to them why the reason why I bring this man here, it's not because of any other reason, but this man, he's here because of the knowledge he has and his wisdom and his understanding of the deen. And these are the people that have to be in the front in the deen of Allah and anything. So he asked them a question. He said to them, Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. What do you say about this surah? So they say, this surah, Surah An-Nasr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the victory of Allah comes by the conquest of Mecca, and وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you see the people entering into Islam in crowds and in groups, tribes, the whole tribes now, not just one by one in the beginning, now in crowds, tribes, the entire tribe embrace Islam. He said, so they say, this is alhamdulillah that the deen is spreading and the victory of Allah comes after hardship. All of them say similar things like this. But then he said to them, that's what you say? They said, that's what we say. He said to them, as for me, I say something else. But before I tell you, let's see this young man, what he has to say. He says, Ibn Abbas, you agree with them? He says, no. He said, what do you have to say? He says, actually, by receiving this surah, when Allah revealed this surah to the Prophet ﷺ, فِيهَا نَعْيُهُ, that the time of the Prophet ﷺ is now, he's about to die soon. Since the deen is established. The deen is established, people are entering into the Islam, and that his moment come near, and that he's about to die soon. Then Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to them, I don't know any other meanings to this than what Ibn Abbas said. And that's why he used to be there. Anyway, also here, he says, one day I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, he could be behind him on the camel, on whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding at that moment, okay? Or he could be behind him, walking behind him, okay? Says, because the narration didn't specify. Okay, so Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and I'm not making a mistake, because this book, Shaykh Fawzan, and I say Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, it's not a mistake, by the way. This is from in the book of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he explained this hadith as well. And he says, As for him, meaning Ibn Abbas says, I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, so it could be that he was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding, a camel or other than that, or he was walking behind him. Now there is another narration of Mu'ad radiallahu anhu. Mu'ad, he says, كنت رذيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على حمار. See, Mu'ad, in another narration, he specified. He says, I was riding behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on a donkey. See, now Mu'ad, when he says, I was riding behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, on a donkey. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned a lot of benefits from that is the modesty of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he used to ride on a donkey. And also the permissibility of more than one person riding on an animal if the animal can what? Can hold it and can bear it, no problem. There's a lot of benefits. The ulama, they look at the hadith in so many angles. You know? طيب. So here this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, to Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ya ghulam. هو غلام قال الغلام هو الصغير the غلام is a young person is a young boy or a young child that's the صغير somebody who's still young that's a غلام وهذا فيه دليل على العناية بالصغار وتوجيههم شيخ صالح الفوزان gave us a benefit Just from this statement, Ya Ghulam, O Ghulam, O young boy. He says in it a proof that we should take good care of the education of the young ones, our children, our teenagers, and to guide them and to teach them. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he taught everybody. And likewise, the du'ats, likewise, the teachers, the parents, because now the parents is an obligation upon them, the education of their children. So, some parents think like, look, man, he's still young, he's not, I can't, when he's 20, now we're going to talk to him. It may be too late. No, this is the minhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is to teach young boys. Likewise, his stepson, okay? And when he was eating with him from the plate, and he was very young, a child, still the Prophet ﷺ, he taught him the etiquette of eating. قال يا غلام, شفت يا غلام, سمي الله. Oh young boy, say Bismillah before you eat. وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ and eat with your right hand وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ and call from that and eat from that which is in front of you etiquettes likewise the ulama they says we don't let the children eat any way and with any hand and say they're still young no you gotta teach them that's how they're gonna learn بارك الله فيكم قال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات He said to him, Oh young man, I shall teach you some words. قَالَ كَلِمَاتِ يَعْنِي يَسِيرًا When the Prophet ﷺ says some words, meaning that he's not going to give him a lot of knowledge. He's not going to give him a lot of information. And that's another thing we have to keep in mind as well in this minhaj of the Prophet ﷺ, that when we address the children, we address the young people, we don't give them a lot at one time, a little bit at a time, so they can handle it and understand it. فَهِيَ يَسِيرًا لَكِنَّهَا كَلِمَاتٌ جَوَامِعٌ Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu ta'ala, he says, keep in mind now, these are few words the Prophet ﷺ taught him, but they contain a lot of knowledge. لِأَنَّ كَلِمَاتَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْسَتْ كَكَلِمَاتِ غَيْرِهِ He says, keep in mind, when the Prophet ﷺ speaks, it's not like other people's when they speak. The words of the Prophet ﷺ and the sentences of the Prophet ﷺ, they don't resemble those of other than him, صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا فيه أن العلم يؤخذ شيئا فشيئا. يؤخذ كلمات يسيرة أول شيء ثم ينمو ويزداد وليس يؤخذ العلم دفعة واحدة. A benefit from here, the Shaykh صالح الفوزان says, this is an indication that knowledge is to be taken and also to be taught little by little, words by words, sentences at a time, little bit at a time. And then the person, by being consistent, you will see that you're increasing in knowledge, little bit at a time. He says you cannot take knowledge all at once. You can't just come and sit and then you think you're going to take knowledge all at once. Now knowledge comes little bit by little bit. قال احفظ الله يحفظك. So from those words of advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this young man Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he want to teach him, the first one he said to him, احفظ الله يحفظك. Literally mean preserve Allah. Literally, huh? Like word for word translation. احفظ, preserve or protect Allah. But does Allah need to be preserved or protected? Of course, no. So that's why those people who don't understand the Arabic language, they know Arabic grammar, they know vocabulary, but they don't know the meanings, then they may make a big mistakes. They want to translate this as what? Oh, protect Allah, preserve Allah. So literally that's what it means. But it's not the case here. The Shaykh, he says, يعني احفظ دينه احفظ الله بفعل أوامره وترك نواهيه. Meaning, as alhamdulillah, they did their best in the translation, they say, be mindful of Allah. But the Shaykh, he says, by what? By preserving the deen of Allah. By acting upon his commands and staying away from his prohibition. This is what he means, احفظ الله. Be mindful of Allah. واحفظ محارم الله باجتنابها. هذا حفظ الله. So this is what he means, احفظ الله, meaning to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by preserving his religion, by acting upon the commands of Allah, and staying away from the prohibitions, and by staying away from the limits set by Allah. Any limits that is set by Allah, we should not pass that line. Should not pass it. Since Allah ordered us not to pass those lines, and we should not. قال هذا حفظ الله. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان لأن الله جل وعلا لا يحتاج إلى حفظ, هو الذي يحفظ الناس ويحفظ الخلق والكون. إنما المراد أنه يحفظ دين الله جل وعلا. He says, so the literal meaning, احفظ الله, preserve Allah, no, this is wrong. Allah is in no need to be preserved or protected. Rather, he's the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who protects the people. Allah is the one who protects the whole universe under his protection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, what he means by ihfazillah, it means meaning to act upon his religion, to be mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for a reason, for his worship, and that Allah did not leave it for us to worship him in any way we want to. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribe for us the way that we all should worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that is legislated in his book and in the sunnah of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال احفظ الله يحفظك. Preserve the deen of Allah by being upright upon it. What is the reward? Allah will preserve you and protect you. فهو جزاء والجزاء من جنس العمل. So now يحفظك, this is the reward, and the people, they get rewarded for something they've done. Allah will preserve you, Allah will protect you. This is the reward of what, Abdullah?
Yes, act upon his commands.
Ahsan. If a person is mindful of Allah and acting upon His commands and staying with prohibitions, Allah, this is the result. This is the reward from Allah, that Allah will preserve that person. And the reward, the Shaykh says, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. The reward is in accordance to the action. You work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. You show up and work, you get a paycheck. Somebody stays asleep, you're not going to get no paycheck. That's how you get the reward, is in accordance to the action. قَالْ فَإِذَا حَفِظْتَ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُكَ مِمَّا تَكْرَهُ فِي دِينِكَ وَدُنْيَاكَ. SubhanAllah. He says, so if you preserve the deen of Allah by acting upon it, and this requires from us to have a zeal, ya akhwan, and you got to always ask yourself, look, I gotta learn this deen. It's not an option. We cannot be a righteous people without knowledge. We need to know what makes us righteous. What are the characteristics of the righteous people? And Allah mentioned them, praised them in many places in the Quran. Allah mentioned the good doers, the righteous, the faithful slaves of Allah, the believers, al-muttaqoon. Allah mentioned their characteristics in the Quran. So we need to find those characteristics and see ourselves. If we have any characteristic, we say alhamdulillah. And we try hard to keep that characteristic, not like to lose it. And if we don't have others, we're struggling, let us at least, we know that we're struggling and we have some work to do. And then we do it like this. He said, if you act upon the deen of Allah, Allah will protect you from everything you dislike. Anything you don't want to come around you, as related to your religion, or to your livelihood. Because we as a human being, we dislike many things. We don't want to get sick. We don't want to lose our money. We don't want trouble. We just want ease. We want, alhamdulillah, good time, good life. For us and for our children, for our parents, for our siblings, for our neighbors, for our community, for our Muslim society. Naam. But that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're healthy, because Allah wants you to be like that. People getting shot, but they miss you. And it's not in your neighborhood, it's not in your house. You have nothing to do with it. You were asleep. Allah protects you. Allah preserve you. People get in a car accident and you just drove in the same road. Nothing happened to you. Because Allah protects you. But Allah protects those who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's their Lord. Not just by statement, oh, Allah is my Lord. So what do you do to prove it? The truthfulness of these statements, that Allah is our Lord, that Muhammad is our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we say this, now we have to prove it. By what? By complying. By submission. But of course, we're human. We have a lot of shortcomings. I know I do. You know, and we have a lot of shortcomings. I know, I'm talking about myself now. And we have a lot of work to do. And may Allah protect us and preserve us. So he said, that's what you do. If you act upon the deen of Allah, you're mindful of this reality, this responsibility. That's why you're here. That's why you were created. Then Allah will preserve you, will preserve your deen, will keep you upon the deen. Other people, they leave the deen, man. And they think they're still on it. But they have left it, because they are not upon the way of the Salaf. They be upon something else. And they think that they are the ones that are right. Because they have lost this protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah will preserve you in the affairs of the dunya too. As related to your health, your wealth, your business, your family, Allah will protect you, especially in the crazy world we live in. We need to be protected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protection, that's what we need. فَهَذِهِ ثَمَرَةُ حِفْظِ اللَّهِ وَحِفْظِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَنَوَهِيهِ. This is the fruit. This is the good fruit of preserving the deen of Allah by acting upon His commands and staying away from his prohibitions, that Allah will preserve such a person. May Allah make us and you from the Ameen. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم احفظ الله. Look, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to him again, احفظ الله. Preserve the deen of Allah. Why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم repeat this sentence, this word again? تأكيد. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم could have said, when he said to him, احفظ الله يحفظك وتجده تجاهك, and you will find him there for you. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said again, احفظ الله, once again. Sheikh Fawzan, he says, تأكيد, to put an emphasis on the importance of this matter, preserving the deen of Allah. Gotta be serious about the deen. We can't just be Muslims by affiliation. It's not gonna make us better Muslims. Just because intisaban, كما يقول المسلم intisaban. Some people, just because they were born in a Muslim country to Muslim families, they think, oh, that's all we need. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. What you need is knowledge. To learn, to take knowledge from its proper sources. Not knowledge from anybody, from anywhere. No, from its proper sources. The Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the understanding of As-Salaf As-Salih. This is the knowledge we need. And therefore, he used this qaida. Of course, we're far away from the time of the Sahaba. None of us can claim now at this moment that he's taken from Abu Huraira right now. He's like, look, I was just in the class of Ibn Abbas, or Abu Bakr, or Abdullah ibn Umar. No. Unless if that person is a Sufi. Because the Sufi, they dreams. They have, they count on their dreams. Yeah, Sufis, they said that the Prophet, A'udhu Billah, look at the lies. They claim that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come and talk to them in person. Right? That's what they say. Worse than this, some of the Sufis, they say, look, the Prophet ﷺ attend in person in their celebration of the Mawlid of the Prophet ﷺ. And the laymans, they like, wow, these are awliya Allah. Why? Because the laymans, the general people, they celebrate the birthday, but they didn't see the Prophet ﷺ. They didn't see him. And since the other people, he came to them, they like, oh, that these are the awliya, they are the big shot guys. Instead to say to them, what? Prophet hasn't come to you? A'udhu billah. Astaghfirullah, you're liars. Now they look at the shaitan, play tricks with them. They're like, wow, how can we get to their level so the Prophet can come and say, Prophet is dead. Naam, he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So by learning, ya akhwan, can't just be a better Muslim just because you're an Arab or because you're born in Mecca or Medina. No, being born in Mecca and Medina, that's an advantage. No doubt we cannot ignore that reality. Those who live in Mecca and Medina is those who live in Atlanta or New York. No, it's big difference between the two places. A huge difference. But just living in Medina and Mecca doesn't give you an edge, and that you're better than somebody here. No. There are people maybe there and doing some crazy things. They're not learning. The ulama are everywhere. Look, we're just learning from their books. But Sheikh Fawzan is in Riyadh. And you think everybody in there sits with this man? That's the way it should be. All the youth and the people who have, they have to find time to sit in the gathering of this man right here. بَذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يَتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But this is the virtue of Allah, to have the zeal to study. It's the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave to whom He wills. So once again, it's very important we take this knowledge from its proper sources. From the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but with the understanding of a Salaf al-Salih. And then anyone who followed them upon that path, we take from him. That's why we take from Tabi'een, we take from the A'imma of the Deen, would take from the ulama of this time and their students of knowledge. But if somebody, just because eloquent, we don't know who he is, who know him from the ulama. And keep in mind, I'm not saying he doesn't have a degree. Some people have degrees, but doesn't mean nothing. Some people, they have PhD, two of them, one in fiqh and one in tafsir. But they corrupt. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, hikmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they corrupt. They are not upon the understanding of the salaf. They start coming from their own minds. So it's very important, ya akhwan, when you come to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah to keep us firm upon this path. And that we learn from the ulama. We learn from the ulama of Islam. طيب. So he says, احفظ الله. Once again, قال هذا تأكيد. This is to put an emphasis on the importance of this matter, preserving the deen of Allah by acting upon it, by learning it, because we can't act upon something if we don't know what it is. And by trying our best to attend the classes of knowledge. Here in America, you be careful who you sit with. Ask, ya akhi, before you sit with a person, ask, who know him from the ulama? That's a simple question. If nobody know him, so well, who you sit with him for? Just because he's from your color? That's how sometimes people do. That's one of us. That's not how it works. The Arabs want to sit with him, and they, jahil, ignorant. Sometimes, even when the ulama, they warn against that person. Like, no, he's one of us, man. Come on. He's the only one we have. This is not a race, man. This is the deen of Allah. The Arabs, they learn from non-Arabs if he is qualified. That's the bottom line. Sheikh al-Albani, was he Arab? How many Arabs learn from him? Huh? Subhanallah. Ulama, they cannot do without his books. Rahimahullah. So this Arab, non-Arab, black, white stuff, man, that's jahiliyyah. That's ignorance. That's falsehood. We got to learn from the books of the ulama. Insha'Allah ta'ala. So here he said to him, tajidhu tujahak. If you preserve the deen of Allah by acting upon what he commanded you and stay away from the prohibitions, here is another result. You will find him in front of you. قال الشيخ الأولى يحفظك. He says, the first benefit, if a person preserves the deen of Allah by acting upon the commands of Allah, staying away from the prohibitions, meaning to be upright, to be righteous, alayka salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The first benefit is that Allah will preserve you. Will preserve you in your deen, keep you firm upon the path. Doubtful matter come to you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them away from you. Shahawat, desires, lusts, shayateen. You'll be receiving many invitations, but Allah preserving you. You'll be declining them. Easy for you to decline them. But other people, it's like, they're waiting for an invitation. They're waiting for one. Just one, not many. And they look at the one who's turning these invitations from the shayateen. Something wrong with him, man. How can he get that job done? It's haram, that's why. He don't want the money. Yeah, he wants some money, but not that way. See how it is? Yeah, we want money. But we're not going to be selling some bootleg movies, man. No, we're not going to do that. We want some money, but we're not going to do it that way. I'm going to go work hard in UPS. I'm going to sell some water somewhere in a hot day. All right? But the haram, no. So what makes that person decline $10,000 a week? Okay? It's worse, those who go sell drugs too, right or wrong? They just sit in a corner like this, and then they make it like $60 in a minute transaction. They're not doctors, man. They're not lawyers. They're not none of that. But they are not, they don't have the protection of Allah. See? They don't have it. They don't have it. Person is broke. He don't know if he's going to pay the rent or not. Children crying. The wife is like, come on, you got to do something. We're going to be in the street. Everybody's doing something. Just go ahead and do it. Like, listen, sister. Everybody's doing something. Well, I'm not everybody. I got to do what's pleasing to my Lord. I'm responsible of you guys. I got to feed you halal. I can't just get you anything. And then this is a test. Allah give that person a test because now he's preserving the deen of Allah, acting. How long? Are you just holding to it tight, firm, or just put a hand in there? And you can get bumped on it in any time. No. Temptations comes. Try to get that person out of his deen. He's holding firm to it. That's why, like in the end, he says what? Victory comes with what? With patience. Relief comes with what? With affliction. And with ease. Ease comes with what? After hardship. Some people, they want everything yesterday, man. They can't wait. They want everything right now. No, ikhwan. Allah, He's the one who gives, right or wrong. Do we believe this is riyah? This is our aqidah. We, me and you, as the Shaykh is going to explain later on, me and you, all we have to do is to follow the means. We don't sit home and say, look, if Allah wants it for me, He's going to come to me right here. The wife says, you're not looking for a job, sister. Everything is in Allah's hand. If that job, UPS, they're going to come right here and get me in their truck and take me to. No, it's not going to work like that. We got to go out, fill out applications. You got to go out, start some business. You got to go out and follow the means, but they have to be halal. And then it's in the hands of Allah. How much you're going to get in this transaction? That's for Allah to decide. Not you, not me. You may go a whole day, don't get anything, right or wrong. And I give you an example of the ulama they give. The fisherman, when he go fishing. Can anyone in his right mind says, look, I'm going fishing, I'm getting 25 fish. Can he do that? Why not? Okay, hold on. Wait, you answer, but wait. But the same person, he said to his wife, look, who says to her, I'm going fishing, I'm bringing 25 fish. Not any fish. He said, give me a fish you like. Huh? No. Give me some fish you like. Snapper? Red snapper?
Whiting.
Okay, whiting. He said, look, I'm getting 25 whitings. And he's going fishing. Is he like when he's going to Walmart and say, I'm going to give you 25 pieces of whiting? In Walmart, if they have the fish, he's going to pick up 25 packs and bring it. Now this man who says to his wife, look, I'm bringing 25 fish. You think, what you say about that?
He must be going to Walmart.
Hello, okay. That's a good answer. Maybe he's not fishing, he's going to Walmart. Nah, because when you go fishing, you just go there and you look at the water. You don't even see what's in the water. Do you see fish?
No, sir.
You just go there and you say, Bismillah, right or wrong? Alhamdulillah. So I make dua, oh Allah. Alhamdulillah, the kids are waiting for the fish. Now we're talking about somebody who live in an area that there is no Walmart. Huh? This is not somebody who just go like sports, fishing for like, for what do you call it? For pleasure or sports. He's going to catch the fish, you know, oh, 17 inch, and throw it back. Oh, I caught one 17 fish. What is it? It's in the water. So why you go fishing? People, they go fishing for a reason, to eat or to make money. But see how it is right now? The dunya, ikhwan. They go fishing for fun. They bother the fish, and they waste time. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. So here, ikhwan, as Muslims, we learn these things that we have to put them to practice in our lives. He said here for him, he says, in the second one, the reward is a tajidhu tujahak. Ay amamak, wafi riwaya tajidhu amamak. In another narration, he said, you will find him in front of you. You will find him in front of you. What does it mean? Once again, this is literally, you will find Allah in front of you. It doesn't mean like me, I'm in front of this brother right here. No, that's not what it means. Hasha lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he means, أي أن الله قريب من عباده سبحانه وتعالى, that Allah is near from His servants. وأيضا هو جل وعلا يبادر إلى مثوبة عباده. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward immediately His servants who do good. Allah reward them with good in many ways, ya akhwan. As the ulama, they says, sometimes a person asks for something but they don't get that particular thing that they ask, and then they're like, oh, we didn't get. Now your dua been answered because Allah protects you in some other way. Allah give you so many other things that it's not the price. You can't put what you ask as a price for them. Give you save mind, peace of mind, protect your children, protect your mothers. Your mother became Muslim, she accepted Shahada. Now you still want $10,000? What's better for you? Your mother become Muslims or $10,000? Tell me.
Your mother,
man, become Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. Hey, na'am. As it occurs in the hadith, من تقرب إلي شبرا تقربت إليه ذراعا ومن أتاني يمشي أتيته هرولا. Likewise, the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever get near me, try to get near to me a finger span, I get closer to him an arm span. And whoever turn to me and try to get closer to me by being obedient to me, walking, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get closer to him, not just walking, like walking, but in fast speed. Okay? Harwala, almost running. What does it mean? It means that when a person, the Shaykh says, when a person try to hold on to this deen of Allah, and try to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists that person. Everyone according to their intentions. Everyone according to their intentions. But here the hadith he mentioned, who's walking and running. Can you imagine if somebody, as a parent, we use this example, but we're not striking example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, لا تضربوا له الأمثال. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not saying this example because Allah, there is no example. We don't strike examples for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we're just giving it so that you understand the concept. As a father, when your child is walking to you, what do? If you're really happy and you want to see your child, you didn't see him for a while. Let's say you made Hajj. You made Hajj. And you missed your son. And you didn't see him for a month. And as soon as you came by the house, your son is walking to you. 2 years. What do you do now as a father?
You run to him.
Right or wrong? You run to him. You're happy. He's walking to you. You run to him. Aynam. So the Sheikh, he says, هنا فائدتان. There is two benefits mentioned in this hadith for those who preserve the deen of Allah. Those who are serious about acting upon the deen of Allah, they take this deen as serious matter. And they always say to themselves, look man, I gotta be a good servant of Allah. I gotta be better today than I was yesterday. I gotta do something extra today. I cannot be the same person of yesterday. No. Because yesterday, I cannot go back to yesterday. That yesterday is gone. Now I have today. I gotta try my best. The things that I should have done yesterday and I didn't do them, whether out of negligence or out of ignorance, I don't want to repeat that mistake again today. Today, subhanAllah, when it comes to money, we all understand this, right or wrong. Is somebody trying to go to the market, try to make some money, but then he made some mistake yesterday. Like what? The market opened at 5 o'clock in the morning, but this man show up at 3 p.m. As soon as he set up, they're like, look man, we got half an hour to close. So now, today, this man, what are you going to do? You're going to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're going to be 2 hours before they open. He's going to come at 3. So that as it takes him like an hour and a half to set up, and then they tell him, look, man, you got a half an hour, okay? And by the way, it's $70 for a spot, okay? No, he's not. That's one thing. The second thing, he went there and he wasn't prepared. He didn't take the right merchandise, right or wrong. So now what? Is he going to make that same mistake again today? No. He's going to try to better himself and his business. Even the way he talked to the customers, right or wrong. Even the way he presents his case. The way he talked to the customers, because he's like, how much is that? You're blind, you don't see the sign. These people, man. The man's like, oh yeah, our attitude, all right. Then somebody else says, hey, help me, can you get me some? You get it yourself, man. I don't see no cast on your hands. So people run away. Now he didn't make no money. So now he's like, wow. Now is he going to go with the same attitude tomorrow?
No.
No, because he see the other guy. The other guy was making money. And then he told him, the other guy said, listen, man, you got some nice merchandise here. But you kind of like, you got no etiquette, man. You have some, learn some skills. What is it? I see people coming to you, man. When you see person coming towards you, he may shift to the one next to you. Make eye contact with a smile. Good morning. How you doing, sir? Come on, we got some good stuff in here. I can work with you. How much? Don't worry about the price. Get the merchandise first. We help you. Don't worry about how much you have. Talk to the people. Be nice, kind. See, that's how it is. Of course, in the deen of Allah, we don't sit like this. We're not getting the reward. Because when you smile, that's hasana. Right or wrong? You don't have to give money. Can you run out of smiles?
No.
You can run out of money. You give your money and people still come in and like, I got nothing. But can somebody frown you like this? Akhi, why you not? I just gave my last smile. Nothing until tomorrow. Is he real, this person? Smile, hasana, is reward for you. Shake hands. It's good for you. Help somebody. Open the door for the elder. Help your elder. If you bump somebody, say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Zakallah. That's good for you. The angels are riding. Allahu Akbar. Not like coming in a mission like this. Want to fight? This is not a dojo, man. This is the house of Allah. This is the house of Allah. When you go to the marketplace where there is women and dust, you go serious. You go straight to the aisle, get what you get out. When you come to the masjid, relax. You're amongst your brothers, the believers. Not just relax, chillax. You know that one? Huh? After the class, I tell you. So. We need to learn how to relax, man, around each other. Because we're brothers, we're a family, man. We relax, we meet each other with cheerful faces. And we smile in one another face. How you doing, akhi? MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, sometimes one of us may come and he thinks like everything is against him in this dunya. You know. And then he comes to the masjid. You look good, akhi. Good. You must be blind. I'm terrible, man. You look good. I don't look good. Something wrong with our brother. But then the other, mashallah, you look good today. Alhamdulillah. It's like, oh, another blind guy. But then everybody, he's like, man, I must be right, man. Alhamdulillah. Give him confidence again. Now he feels good because this one is like, you're good, akhi. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Mashallah. But now, his attitude changed. Now he's happy. He's not mad. He's not worried about what happened before. And look, he's going to take the attitude where? To his family. SubhanAllah, he's going to be... Because the wife, when he left, slammed the door. Now they waiting, man, if this man coming back, Allah al-Musta'an, oh Allah, change his heart, oh Allah. Now everybody, the wife, the children, they're like, man, I hope this man don't come back. His wife already sent him a text message, hey, he didn't visit your mother today, can you go spend the night over there? They just don't want to deal with him. A grumpy man. You know that, Abdullah? A grumpy person, right? Because that's what he left. When he left the house, he's like that. Now he came to us, we help that family. We don't look at him like, and we add gasoline to the fire. Now we talk to him nicely. How you doing, akhi? Hayyakallah. Wallah, akhi, let's go get some coffee, man. Alhamdulillah, coffee. This guy give him a gift, a pen. Hey, akhi, this is for you. When you see somebody mad like that and disturbed, we help them. Now he's going to go home. The wife, she hears, she saw him. But he's coming, smiling, alhamdulillah. How you doing? Are you okay today? Allahu Akbar. Come here, baby. His little girl, give him a hug. They all like this, looking at each other. What happened to him? Brotherhood. But the real brotherhood, those who understand what it means. Not just, yeah, we're brothers, but when people need us, we're not there for them. Ayna. Fadalakh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now, so here the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, he says, when a person preserves the deen of Allah, because that's what it means, yahfadillah. Yahfadillah, يعني احفظ دينه, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لأن الله لا يحتاج إلى حفظ, subhanahu wa ta'ala. هو الذي يحفظ الناس, ويحفظ الكون. When a person preserves the deen of Allah by learning it from its proper sources, of course, from the proper books, the proper people, the right people, then you act upon it to the best of your ability. Be sincere. What you can do, do it. What you cannot do, Allah is al-Ghafur al-Rahim. And you apply it in your life. The commands, act upon them to the best of your ability. The prohibition, stay away from them. If you feel short, turn to Allah. Ask Allah for repentance. For forgiveness, repent, turn to Allah. This is a Muslim, this is the believer. So if a person does this in his life, the Shaykh says also, that's a part of preserving the deen of Allah. He says, and also, he mentioned a very important point. He says that the Muslim, the believer, he pardons his brothers. Even they do something to him or this, he don't let things, you know, settle in his heart. He let things ride, man. Like, forgive his brother. And that's true. And there is benefits in forgiving the people and pardoning the people. I know. Jazakallah khair. So those who preserve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تجي two benefits from this hadith. Two benefits. الأولى, who knows what is the first benefit? نعم حسن. أحسنت. يحفظك الله. If you preserve the deen of Allah by acting upon it and the like, as the Shaykh mentioned, then the first benefit is that Allah will protect you and preserve you. And if you have Allah's protection, do you need anybody else? SubhanAllah. That's why you see those who are not serious about the deen of Allah, they're always getting guns. He has 67 guns. Still need like 5 more. What for? Spending your money. You see, you think those guns are going to protect you, brother? You need Allah's protection. That's all you need. You see? See how it is? Oh yeah, I gotta call this guy. I gotta get his number. For what? You need Allah's protection. If Allah is protecting you, nobody can touch you. That's why in the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, and know, if the whole ummah gather together, not just one or two, the entire people gather to harm you, they will never be able to harm you. Except if Allah wants that to happen to you. So if you preserve the deen of Allah, Allah will protect you. That's the first benefit. The second benefit, what is it? Naam Nasir.
You find Allah in front of you. Ahsan. Your dua, help you.
That Allah respond your supplications. Allah is there for you to assist you and to protect you, to get you out of the danger, out of hardship and the like. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سألت فاسأل الله. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم teaching this young man, a young man, ابن عباس, and he said to him, إذا سألت فاسأل الله. We human, we need. When you need, who you ask? He said to him, ask Allah. He said to him, ask me, come to me. And he is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, when you ask, ask Allah. And this is what we're going to learn next Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair, barakallahu fikum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimun kathira.